Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world, all specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. Boy, everybody on Twitter is just as confused as could be. Oh, and Netanyahu now says that he is in favor of a Palestinian state. Huh. I got Eric Margulies on the line. Hey, Eric, sometimes Netanyahu says that he's in favor of a Palestinian state, and other times he says that he's not. Can you tell which is the truth and which is a lie?
Oh, I can. I've been saying it for years, Scott, that Netanyahu and his right-wing supporters haven't the slightest inclination to create a real Palestinian state. So his comments are addressed in two directions. One to the Americans, which he will continue saying, yes, we'll talk about it, we'll consider it, it's a good thing. And then to the Israeli public, particularly the right wing, saying, never, yet, jamais, a Palestinian state.
And here's what I don't understand, though. How could any American be buying this at this point? He already admitted that he was lying before when he said that he did favor a Palestinian state. Oh, when I admitted I was lying earlier? No, that was a lie. Actually, I was telling the truth in the first place when I said I was going to do the thing that you all know I'll never do and that you just watched me jerk John Kerry around for a year and a half not doing.
Well, unfortunately, we Americans have become used to politicians that lie. So we don't found anything unusual in what Netanyahu is doing.
Crazy. All right, so the New York Times says that Obama is considering supporting a UN Security Council resolution insisting that Israel get the hell back behind the green line in 1967. What do you think of that?
Well, the U.S., Obama should have done it a long time ago if he had any real courage, but he hasn't. And so what if the U.N., Israel has violated scores of UN resolutions, many of them that were vetoed by the U.S. So Israel will just laugh it off and say, okay, who's going to make me do it? And the answer is no one.
Right. All right. Well, so I wonder what you think is next for the Palestinians. Now that the charade of the peace process is completely over, and now that, well, I don't know, in America maybe they'll believe anything, but in the rest of the world, they're all going to ignore what Netanyahu said to Mrs. Greenspan this morning, and they're going to go with what he said the other day about there never being a Palestinian state. So in a sense, it's kind of a whole new day, especially now that the Europeans don't have that cover of, the European politicians of being able to pretend to believe that there's any kind of actual peace process going on here now. But so, I don't know, I guess like you just said about the UN, still doesn't make any difference to the Israeli government. But what about to the people of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip?
Well, they're in a hopeless situation, Scott. They live under great oppression. I've been there across the whole area many times. They are a totally subjugated people under martial law. The so-called Palestinian Authority, the government that leads them in the West Bank, is a bunch of corrupt crooks. Its leader, Mohammed Abbas, is 80 years old. He's an Israeli stooge, to use simple English. He'll probably be kicked out. Hamas, with the rest of the Palestinians in Gaza, at least they have a government that represents them, but it is totally isolated. Particularly now with Egypt in close alliance with Israel and Saudi Arabia. So there, I don't see any hope for the Palestinians. They'll riot, there'll be more intifadas, there'll be more cries of apartheid and things like that. But in the end, the Israelis hold all the cards.
Yeah. So, well, I guess then the only question is, slow motion or fast motion ethnic cleansing out of the West Bank?
Well, that has been going on for a long time, and that is the secret Israeli agenda to make life so miserable for the people on the West Bank and formerly Gaza that they will leave and go somewhere else. They say, well, the Arab world's a big place. Ariel Sharon used to say, well, Jordan is really the Palestinian state. Well, he had a point there. It's 60% Palestinian. But the Palestinians don't want to leave and give up their land. There are 5 million other Palestinians living scattered across the Arab world who are homeless and stateless. And I see absolutely no hope for them.
Man. And then so, well, I guess, back to stupid American politics here. Never mind the Republicans, but I don't know. Like at the last Democratic convention, it was pretty obvious that the leaders of the Democratic Party are completely in the thrall of the Israelis and the Israel lobby. But the grassroots of the Democratic Party, they're liberals. And they tend to believe in silly things like Palestinians have human rights and stuff like that. So I wonder whether you think that, you know, there's any kind of hope for American... the American political system, one of the other parties, becoming, you know, even slightly good on this?
No, I definitely don't. The Israelis have now 100% full ownership of the Republican Party, thanks to the Israel lobby and also to this Christian Zionist movement. The Republicans, and these are not the Republicans of yore, my kind of Republicans on the East Coast. These are heartland Republicans who rely on religious votes. 44% of Republican voters are born-again Christians who believe in Armageddon, and it's important to recreate biblical Israel so the world can be destroyed. It's a powerful movement. The Democrats are pretty well controlled by Mr. Chaim Saban, an Israeli billionaire, mm-hmm. who's a major backer funder of Hillary Clinton, who is going to be probably the only candidate for the Democrats at this point. So the grassroots have very little to say on this issue.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember back in the late 1990s, I think maybe when she was running for Senate the first time, Hillary got in a lot of trouble for even using the phrase Palestinian state. Remember that? Whoa, Hillary. Whoa. You're way out ahead of American politics here to use that phrase out loud.
It's the only good thing I ever heard her say.
And she backed right down, too.
She was taken to the woodshed and never dared say anything again. Just the way what was really amusing was when Governor Christie of New Jersey made a pilgrimage to kiss the feet of casino mogul Adelson in Las Vegas. He used the term occupied West Bank. And for that, he was vilified by the Adelson supporters. He was sent off into the night and told that you only use the word Samaria and Judea. You never use the word occupied West Bank. He was badly hurt.
Amazing. That's such a funny story how he had to go back to the back office and apologize and all this.
It's pathetic. It reminds me of the Stalinist days in the Soviet Union when silly little things like that. In fact, one of my favorite stories is about how a man stopped clapping for Stalin that I heard in the Soviet Union. It was never seen again. Well, we just read about some senators when Netanyahu came who were seen to applaud him and jump up and wave their arms with insufficient vigor. Mm-hmm. So we're back in the days of Stalin.
Yeah, it was Rand Paul who got called out for that. And what was funny was there were plenty of clips of him being as excited as he could possibly be, but you could always find a clip of anyone at a speech like that looking bored for a second. And boy, do they go after him for insufficient fealty to the leader of a foreign power there. Amazing. And of course, for anyone to claim Rand has insufficient fealty to Israel means that they must be completely illiterate or living under a rock, because there's no one more loyal to Benjamin Netanyahu and his goals than Rand Paul. Back in a second. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. All right, sorry, guys. I'm trolling this New York Times idiot. New York Times idiots. I love Twitter. Hey, I'm Scott. I'm talking with Eric Margolies, man. He's the author of War at the Top of the World, An American Raj, Liberation or Domination. Sorry, I didn't give you a good intro at the beginning of this thing, Eric. He writes at UNZ.com. That's UNZ, UNZ.com, as well as LouRockwell.com and his own website, EricMargolies.com. And now, so let me ask you about BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. And this is an effort on behalf of, I guess, private parties mostly in Europe and the United States to boycott Israel and to convince universities, local and state governments, and whatever corporations and whoever else they can influence to divest from Israel. Do you think that that's really hurting, or do you think that, you know, maybe now with this blatant new reality of Netanyahu's avowed statement that there will never be a Palestinian state, do you think that it'll help build up the BDS movement, that then it could maybe have more of effect later?
Scott, I have no doubt that Israel is very concerned by this boycott movement, because it's reacting, and its henchmen in the U.S. are reacting so violently to the issue, going after people who support it. But in the end, it's not going to force Israel to do anything that it does not want to do, for two important reasons. Israel has dominates the French government, and it obviously gives marching orders in Washington and in New York on Wall Street. And as long as it dominates the U.S. and France, nobody's going to force Israel into the same isolated position that happened to South Africa. South Africa had no major supporters abroad, a half-hearted support from Britain, but that was it. The case is entirely different, and the Israelis can ride out any kind of boycott.
Because they have the American taxpayer to suck off of, is that it?
They have that. They have a pretty good economic situation in Israel. Their arms and tech exports are rising, and Israel has found very large deposits of gas in the Mediterranean between Cyprus and the coast of Israel, which Israel is claiming to belong to Israel. No mention of the Palestinians, who should be sharing it. So Israel thinks, you know, all signs are golden for Israel for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was just talking with, I think it was Michael Schwartz about that natural gas, and he was saying that this is really kind of going back to, I guess, 2005. This is part of the reason why Ariel Sharon decided to pull the Israeli colonists out of the Gaza Strip and turn it into a maximum security prison, was to, further prevent them, isolate them, in order that the Israelis might steal all their natural gas and that they would never have the opportunity to. Because I guess they had already started cutting deals with companies to begin to exploit that gas down there, and the Israelis had to figure out a way to stop it.
Yes, and the Israelis have all kinds of under-the-covers deals going with Cyprus and with Greece. So over the Mediterranean gas issue, it will bring them eventually into confrontation with Turkey, but the Turks are pretty cautious at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and plus they're working so closely together to support Al-Qaeda in Syria right now. It seems like, you know, the Israelis and the Turks, they can work out their differences.
One would think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so now let me ask you this, and I don't know, I guess maybe it's kind of a stupid question. I understand that war is the health of the state, and having enemies is the health of any group of politicians. Look, they're out to get us, that kind of thing. And yet it seems like, you know, there's a point where obviously war is the health of the state unless you lose, or maybe, you know, stealing is the health of your state until all of humanity decides that your state is just a completely illegitimate white supremacist group of land rustlers. And I wonder how long that image can serve Israel. I mean, in theory, they want their nation state to last for, what, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years on into the future, right?
Right.
So isn't that problematic if everyone hates them because they are outright criminals? They're just a nation of criminals, of white supremacist land rustlers and natural gas thieves.
Well, that's not what the American public believes, or much of the European public. There's still great sympathy for Israel. Every time a Holocaust film comes on TV, it generates more publicity. Every time the Arabs commit some kind of dastardly attack, it boosts up Israel. So, recent survey, I was horrified to read that Americans, for their news, they trust Fox News more than anything else. Well, I mean, people who suck up news from Fox are guaranteed to be misinformed and wrong-headed.
Yeah, they even have scientific studies that show that. and yeah, it's amazing because, you know, it's funny about that. Maybe Americans just by and large don't pay attention to the news at all anymore, because I read on one hand, Fox News is way out ahead of all the other TV news. And on the other hand, their average viewer is 76 years old or something like that. So what about the other 300 million Americans? None of us are watching news anymore?
No, interest in foreign affairs has gone way down. Until there's another 9/11 or something like that, it'll boost up. But Americans are shockingly uninformed when it comes to the rest of the world. We are geographically illiterate. Look at this ludicrous example of this two-bit senator the other day. His name escapes me now.
Cotton.
Cotton, that's it. Thank you. Who said on TV, you know, thunder is warning, be careful, the Iranians are moving in on Tehran.
You know, somebody tweeted me yesterday and said, Scott, did you make a mistake? Did you mean to say that? It sounds like you screwed up. I said, no, man, really. Google it. It was Cotton who said it, not me.
Such are the morons that we elect to Congress. And he's one of Adelson's golden-haired boys.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Kristol's little sock puppet. And, of course, an Iraq war veteran where he successfully helped the Ayatollah steal Baghdad from the Sunnis who lived there and install the Dawa Party and the Supreme Islamic Council and the Badr Brigade killers in power there. Of course, I'm sure he doesn't have the first clue about who he was fighting for in the Iraq war or the Afghan war, for that matter. This guy.
He was fighting the bad guys. That's all he knows.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, by the way, here's something that you know about, and I've been hearing accusations like this, and I wonder what you'd say. The Houthis have, I don't know, sort of kind of more or less taken over Sana'a now. We've talked about them for years, the Shiite rebellion from the north of Yemen. They've now regime change, the what was left of the old Saleh regime there in Sana'a or Sana'a or however you say it. But so if you listen to the War Party tell the story, Iran has just taken over Yemen, because if the Houthis are Shiites, and that means they're the sock puppets of the Iranians. But here's my thing. I don't really know that's not true. What about you?
Yemen is an unbelievably complicated place. I've been going there for many years. And I loved it because it was just, it always looks like it's just creeping into the 11th century in a real Arabian Nights thing. It's very tribal society. It's like Afghanistan. It's not just tribes, but clans who are fighting each other and intriguing. And yeah, the Houthis are on the up. No, they're not sock puppets for the Iranians, even though the Iranians may be giving them some arms and support. The report just came out yesterday, Scott, which is absolutely unbelievable that our government has given $500 million to the U.S.-backed puppet regime in Sana'a, it's gotten lost. Nobody knows where it's gone. It's gone walkabout. Mm-hmm. And most of it, they think, has gone to anti-American groups, like Al-Qaeda and other assorted wild men. What an embarrassment. It's incredible. We evacuated our embassy in Yemen, and everything's up for grabs there. I don't think Iranians are going to take over. I think just the wild and crazy Yemenis are going to continue shooting up the place.
Yeah, boy, it looks like if you ask the war party in D.C., it's Al-Qaeda versus the Houthis, and the Houthis are the bad guys because they're backed by Iran.
They're badder than Al-Qaeda, right?
Yeah. Hey, why not? As long as you're a trader, you make a lot of money working in D.C. these days, apparently. Thanks so much for time. I can't believe we're already out of it, but we are. Eric Margulies, everybody.
Cheerio, Scott.
Thanks. In America today, teachers, cops, judges, and other so-called public servants make far more than the average taxpayer. And their pensions? Well, if the people knew, they'd join us. That's where you come in. Taxpayers United of America is embarking on a great new project to train activists how to take on the parasites in your communities. The entire process, from prying loose the facts to disseminating the truth to the people. The next of these great workshops is Saturday, April 11th in Las Vegas. It's just $15. For more information, go to taxpayersunited.org/govpensions.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods's Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. If this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Roberts & Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co.